The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What does the Bible have to say about believers being judged? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. On today's episode, we are responding to questions from listeners just like you. If you've got one of those questions that keeps you up at night, I hope you'll send it to us. We've got email. You can reach us that way, radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, before we move on to today's discussion, I'd like to remind you about our national conference. If you have never been part of our Bible conference, we really want you to take part this year. You can find out all you need to know about our national Bible conference by going to faithalone.org and click on events. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for listening to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
Before we get into anything, let me just invite you to our national conference. Why don't you make the time to come to Denton, Texas? It's my hometown now. I mean, it's where I live now, but it's also near to where the ministry is because we're having our national conference. What's the dates again, May?
23 through 26. Denton's a suburb of DFW. So if you fly into DFW or drive in the area, we're just a little north of Dallas.
Yeah, DFW stands for Dallas-Fort Worth. So just Love Field or DFW, doesn't matter. It's about an equal drive to Denton. And we're going to be meeting at Camp Copus. You can find out more information at our website at faithalone.org/events. All right, let's get to some questions. Here's one from Freddie, and he says, thanks for your valuable podcasts. He says, in your podcast discussing the use and interpretation of katakrima in Romans 5:12-21, you mentioned that it could be translated as slavery to sin. Do you want to just say something about that? First of all, this is kind of Zane's suggestion.
Right, but it does come from Moulton and Milligan, and Moulton and Milligan says that it was used in secular Greek to refer to the punishment which flows from judgment. It's not the judgment itself,
right.
It's the punishment. For example, if you were to say that a given person stole $20,000 and was sent to prison for 5 years, that 5 years imprisonment would be katakrima.
Right.
Katakrima is generally, I think Moulton and Milligan translated as something like penal servitude, something like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, they talk about it denotes a burden ensuing from a judicial pronouncement, a servitude, and they give the example of a piece of land that's transferred to the purchaser. Yeah, I don't know if they call it penal servitude, but I think that's kind of the...
But they do call it servitude.
It's the burden that you get afterwards. Yeah, it's servitude.
Yeah. And it makes sense because I think it's Romans 5:16-18, I think, and then also Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no katakrima. I don't think that's condemnation. I think that is servitude to sin. By the way, that fits with Romans chapter 6, which follows the first two uses of katakrima in chapter 5, where in chapter 6 he says we're no longer slaves of sin in our position, so therefore present your members to God, not to the flesh.
Yeah, so servitude is definitely on Paul's mind
right.
in those verses, and not just to judgment without anything following. It's the servitude itself, slavery and all that stuff.
Well, what's Freddie's question?
So Freddie's question is, while I'm working on my thesis about the judgments involved in the book of James, how would you interpret the term krima in James 3:1 and kritis in James 5:9?
Well, actually, James 5:9, I think, is krino, but let's look at 3:1.
James 3:1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers. Oh, that's me and you here.
Yeah, that's right.
Talking on the podcast. Knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment in the New King James.
And the word is krima. Now, we were just talking about katakrima. Well, it's the same word, except it doesn't have the preposition kata at the front. But when you put the preposition on the front, it changes the sense of the word from simply judgment to the servitude that follows judgment.
Mm.
And here it's saying at the judgment seat of Christ, those who have been teachers of the word, and I believe what James is thinking here is elders who do the primary teaching in the local churches in the first century, they would have a stricter judgment because they're using their tongues more to teach the Word of God. And if it's accurate, great. But if it's inaccurate, well, then there's going to be accountability. And you and I take this to heart every time we do a show.
That's right. We're here searching the Scriptures, trying to be teachable, taking questions and learning from the questioners and being challenged by the questioners. Moulton and Milligan translate crema as a legal decision. It's a judgment, a legal decision. You know, you're going to be under a stricter judgment.
Now, we know from many other passages in Scripture that what James is talking about here is the judgment seat of Christ. He does not use the term bema anywhere in his letter. Bema is judgment seat, or bema Christu, judgment seat of Christ. But we know from verses like Romans 14, 10 through 12, or also 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10, that the judgment seat of Christ is where Christians will be judged. Mm. The Lord taught about it in Luke 19, 16 through 26, and many other places as well. And I think we have Zane Hodges. Do you have his comment on James 3, 1?
He says he thinks it's the judgment seat of Christ here.
Okay, so there would be another source you could look at. What was the second use?
5, 9.
Okay, in James 5, 9, he says, "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned." Mm-hmm. And the word for condemned is kritheti, but that comes from the verb krino, which means to judge, or in the passive, this is an aorist passive, it would mean lest you be judged. So I don't like this translation, the New King James translation, "lest you be condemned." I'm holding up the Hodges-Farstad interlinear, and underneath me kritheti, it says that you may not be judged. And so I think the point here is that if we're grumbling, we're going to be judged for that misuse of the tongue.
Well, see, I think I understand where the translators are coming from, because condemned means you've been judged in a negative way.
Right.
You've been found guilty.
Right.
Because we're all going to be judged.
Right. But the problem is a lot of people see the word condemned and think lake of fire, eternal condemnation.
Right. Well, a lot of people see judged and think that.
Well, right?
So long as you understand this is the judgment seat of Christ, and you will be judged, you will be evaluated, but there's two outcomes. And if you're doing this thing, if you're grumbling, then the judgment's going to be negative, right?
Right, but notice the end of verse 9, which Freddie didn't mention, but Freddie, you need to get this in your thesis. "Behold, the judge," and the New King James rightly, I think, has a capital J.
Right.
"The judge is standing at the door." What James is picturing is the Lord Jesus Christ about to return, and he's at the door of humanity, and he's about to return at any moment. Now, we're not sure when James wrote. Hodges thought he wrote very early, maybe even 34, 35 A.D., within a year or two of Jesus' death and resurrection. But even if he wrote in the 40s, 50s, or 60s, it was still fairly close to Jesus' death and resurrection. And yet, James expects Jesus to return at any moment. Well, guess what? That's the way every generation of Christians should think. Whether we're in the first century or the 21st century, the truth is Jesus is returning at any moment, and he's at the door, and he's the judge. It's interesting, but the word for judge is related to the word for lest you be judged, because krites is what you were mentioning earlier.
Yeah.
That's the judge.
Mm.
The one who exercises judgment is the judge.
Okay.
And by the way, if you go back to James 3, 1, it says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, for as such we will incur a stricter judgment." Well, guess what James 2.13 says, which is in between James 2.13 and 3.1 is 2.14 to 26.
"For the judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment."
So the judgment, that's krisis. And it's talking about judgment in this life, but I think it has heavy overtones toward the judgment seat of Christ. In fact, I think Hodges, you might look it up and see, but I think Hodges suggests that this is primarily talking about the judgment seat of Christ, that we might translate it something like judgment will be without mercy to the one who has not shown mercy.
Yeah, he does say it's about the judgment seat of Christ, yes.
And so that would tie in with 3:1.
Right. So basically you can get mercy on that day. You
know, right.
You could have some bad things coming to you or loss. You could experience tremendous loss because of what you've done. But if you're merciful, Jesus is going to be merciful.
Right. What Hodges understood this to mean, and I think he's right, is the more we show mercy to others, the more mercy we lay up at the Bema.
Yeah.
It kind of ties in with the Lord's teaching with the measure that we judge others is the way we will be judged.
Sure.
And so we need to get the log out of our own eye before we take the speck out of our brother's eye.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, yeah, that appears at the end of the Sermon on the Plain in Luke. And so Jesus gives like 3 woes and 3 blessings, and he has this impossibly high standard of behavior, which no one, absolutely no one, would ever live up to. But then at the very end of that Sermon on the Plain is this word about, and by the way, if you're merciful, then you're going to get shown mercy. And if you pay attention to the log in your own eye without worrying about the speck in the others, you'll be a lot better off. So it's like, if you're not living up to God's standard, maybe are we saying that something like, at the very least, you can be merciful to other people who aren't either.
Right. Hodges used to say, and he practiced this in his own life, that we should be very merciful toward other believers in the local church, in our local church. We should be very merciful toward people who work for us, who work with us, who work over us, our supervisors, to our spouses, to our children, to our relatives. The more we show mercy to others, the more we lay up. And so Zane was exceedingly merciful toward other people, and I believe he will have laid up a lot of mercy at the Bema. So this theme of judgment, Freddie, it's a big one in the book of James. So I'm glad you're writing a thesis on it. And I hope you take a look at these various passages that deal with judgment. And I would suggest you tie it in with John 5:24, 2 Corinthians 5:9 and 10, and other texts. But the truth is, the theme of the judgment seat of Christ is found on almost every page of the New Testament. And it's important that we focus on his soon return, because we long to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's episode, we're going to talk about dinosaurs, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.